Lord is doing many wonderful things amongst us here. We are congregating together virtually online to pray and study His Word. I pray that God will continue to bless us because we have put Him first in everything we do. God bless you. Please share your testimonies here if these messages are blessing you. And don't forget to also share with others. Remain blessed. Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's with them. So we believe that God is right here with us. And because God is here with us, we are going to have a blast with Him this afternoon. Let's just get ready, prepare our hearts, our spirit, and our souls, even to receive from God. David said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Thank God for a moment like this where we are able to share in fellowship, speak to God and ask for His forgiveness. Ask Him to cleanse you and wash you and make you whole. Pray that this space that we have right now will experience the full blessings of God. David said, create in me a new heart, O God. Wash me and cleanse me. I want you to tell the Lord that, Lord, I am before you this afternoon. You see more than I can see, and therefore I surrender all to you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you are holy and worthy of all our praise. As we open your word this afternoon, please wash us in your truth. Cleanse our hearts and make us vessels of your glory. Let the message that we are about to hear stir a fresh hunger for holiness. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
I welcome you all into the presence of God this Thursday afternoon. We're speaking on a theme titled, The Beauty and the Power of Holiness. I always like to tell a story to bring home what God wants us to know. A young Christian woman once said, holiness is for pastors, not people like me. She thought holiness was about perfection, never making mistakes. But after walking through heartbreaks herself and going through multiple failures, she realized something that is so peculiar. She came to understanding that holiness isn't about being perfect. It is about being purified. Hallelujah. She learned that holiness means allowing God to shape your heart even when it hurts. And trust me, there are many things that will hurt us in this journey. It is not about what you wear or where you sit in the church or even singing in the choir. It's about who sits on the throne of your heart this afternoon. Who is sitting in front of your throne of your heart. That matters. Amen.
Amen.
So having gotten that as a hook, I want to go into few things that will help us to understand what is holiness. So the question comes, what is holiness? Pastor, what are you talking about? Holiness. The definition of holiness is call. The word holy comes from the Hebrew word. I want you to learn from me. The word holy comes from the Hebrew word. The word is called kadosh. Kadosh meaning set apart, sacred, pure, dedicated to God. So it has four connotations right here. The first being to be set apart. If you say somebody is holy, it meaning the person has been set apart. The person walk in sacred. The person is pure. And the person is dedicated to only God. Amen.
Amen.
So to be holy means to belong entirely to God, not to yourself not to your cousin, not to your husband, but to God only. To be separated from sin and devoted to his purpose only. So entirely, holiness means belonging to God, separated from sin or anything that makes us sin, and to devoted to his purpose. Amen. Holiness is not a performance like singing in a stage like Beyoncé, Michael Jackson. It's a position in God, having a good position in God. And the definition is holiness is the reflection of God's character in a human life. To be holy is to wear the character of reflection in your own life. There's an author that I love reading about him, and he's one of the famous authors that penned in one of his books. His name is called A.W. Tozer. He wrote a book that I really love. The book is titled, Why Revival Tarries. Why revival doesn't come so speedily, but it takes time. But I want to quote from one of his writing. A.W. Tozer said, holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard, period. So when God says, be holy, for I am holy, he's inviting us into a mirror of his nature in our daily lives, to think like him, to love like him, to forgive like him, and to walk like him. I will take that again. To be holy means God is inviting us into a mirror of his nature in our daily lives, not weekly lives, daily lives. Number one, to think like him. Number two, to love like him. Number three, to forgive like him. Number four, and walk like him. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to dive into the scripture in the Old Testament and talk about a man called Isaiah. And I would want us to go into the vision of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Let's look at one of the most powerful moments of holiness in the entire Bible. The story of Isaiah's encounter with God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, just tag along with me. The Bible reads, in the years that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Friends, Isaiah saw heavenly beings crying, not folks living in the street of Columbus, Ohio, but heavenly beings crying. And all that they were saying was, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In that moment, Isaiah fell to the ground and cried. And when he cried, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. God didn't rebuke Isaiah by saying that. He rather purified Isaiah. An angel touched his lips with a burning coal and said, your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. May somebody receive a touch of an angel even now as we talk about Isaiah. Then Isaiah heard God's voice saying, who shall I send? And Isaiah replied, Here I am. Send me. Beloved in the Lord, now there are some lessons we ought to learn from the passage I just read. Through holiness is the beginning of a revelation of who God is and who we are without Him. The closer you get to God, the more you see your need for cleansing. Is that true? But it's always in the moment that God restores and commissions us for holiness, to transform our weakness even into willingness. But hear me out, church. Isaiah came but broken, but he left the burning with a purpose. Let me further look and review about some lessons again. Holiness begins with the heart. Amen. The heart is very deceitful. I'm speaking to you right now. Your ears are listening, but your heart is debating. Is what pastor teaching even the true word? Do I accept this word? Would this word make any impact to me? The Bible says the heart is very deceitful. The heart can lead us even into areas we do not want to see ourselves in. We love people with our hearts. And when they disappoint us, then they break our heart. So watch what you are leaning your heart to this afternoon. Holiness begins with the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." For holiness starts from the inside out. Amen.
Amen.
You can't fake holiness, friend. You cannot fake holiness. You can fake anything, but you can't fake holiness. It's the fruit of an honest heart before God. You can attend every service. You can go to many crusades. You can even pay your tithe and still miss holiness. If your heart is bitter, if your heart is proud, if you are wearing an unforgiving character, holiness is far away from you. For holiness is choosing purity when no one is watching. It is refusing to gossip, rejecting lust, and walk in love, and desire to be walking in love all the time, even when it's not convenient. Now, let me give some illustrations to help us to understand what I'm talking about. A Christian businessman once said, "I lost deals because I refused to lie, but I gained peace because I could never buy the peace." That is what we call holiness in practice. Integrity when compromise seems easier. Friend, holiness requires the Holy Spirit. You cannot live holy by human effort. You can not live holiness by human effort. But you can discipline your body. But only that Holy Spirit can transform your heart. Oh, I like what the founder of Methodism, our own father, John Wesley, said. The Holy Spirit is the power by which we are made holy, and the presence by which we remain holy. After salvation comes sanctification, the daily process of the Spirit renewing our desire. Remember, he's quoted by saying, after salvation comes sanctification, the daily process of the Spirit renewal, our desires. For holiness isn't trying to be harder. It's surrendering our life deeper to Him. When you stop striving and start yielding, grace begins to work for you. Hallelujah. The Spirit gives you power to say no to sin and yes to God. Friend, true holiness produces compassion, not condemnation. Holiness doesn't make you judgmental. It makes you merciful. The holiness that we are talking about brings you to the table. The holiest people are the kindest people you ever meet. When God Jesus met the woman caught in adultery, he didn't shame her. He saved her life. And he said to that woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Until recently, I was just watching Billy Graham's program, and I came across a statement that he made that really drew my attention. He says, being holy doesn't mean being proud of all your purity. It means being broken over your sin and amazed by God's grace. If your holiness makes you look down on people, it's not holiness. It's hypocrisy.
Right.
True holiness lifts other people with love. Now, as I get close to my end of the message, I want to share with you a real-life example. The pastor who fell and rose again. A pastor once lost everything after moral failure. He said, I thought holiness was about rules. Now I know it's all about relationship. Through repentance, God restored him. Not as a perfect man, but as a purified man. He tells young ministers, holiness isn't about how high you stand. It's about how quickly you remain to go before the Lord on your knees. That is holiness. Humility that leads to restoration. Beloved, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. For holiness brings clarity. It brings peace and divine favor. When you walk in holiness, you carry God's presence. Your home becomes his dwelling place. Your life becomes his altar, says another powerful writer called Leonard Ravenhill. The greatest miracle God can do is to take an unholy man out of unholy world and make him holy. Then put him back into the world and keep him holy in holiness. For holiness is not a limitation. It is liberation. It sets you free to live with clean hands, a clear heart, and a confident spirit. Beloved, as I share with you these stuff, there is something that comes into my heart. I must say it to help you to understand that God is calling us to do something that he knows is possible. Hallelujah. Friend, listening to me this afternoon, God is asking, is your heart fully surrendered to me? Are there secret places that you have ignored? God is calling you this afternoon to cleanse your heart. Do you desire holiness? Do you desire comfort? Do you want to walk in holiness? For holiness is not a burden. It's a blessing. It's the fragrance of heaven that fills a surrendered life. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. If you feel far from God this afternoon, this is your moment. If you've been struggling with sin, pride, or even compromise, God is not angry with you. He's only inviting you closer, wherever you are, in your car, in your home, or anywhere else that you are listening to me. Please, kneel on your knees. Go back to your knees. Or if you will, just lift your hands and pray with me. Lord, purify my heart. Take away anything that doesn't please you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me holy, not just in word, but in walk. I thank you for being the Father I need. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, take away anything that doesn't please you in our lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make us holy, not just in this world, but to walk in holiness. Father, this afternoon, we return to the altar. Wash us, cleanse us, renew our minds, and fill us with your fire. Make us a people set apart for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Remember these words. Take my life, Lord, and let it be consecrated only to you. Now unto you who is able to do far more exceedingly, abundantly, and above that which we can think or dream of. May your presence be with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. See you next week. Bye-bye.
In a world craving compassion and unity, a new ministry rises, an oasis of hope and inspiration. Introducing DRO Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving communities and fostering spiritual growth. Through diverse initiatives, DRO Ministries empowers individuals, addresses core needs, and promotes compassion and unity. Together, we can make a difference, uniting hearts, spreading love, and building a better world.